This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. Our theme for this year is Heart to Heart. And today my title of my talk is that Jesus steps down. And in a moment we're going to be looking at the Philippians chapter 2. So you may want to find that in your Bible. But before we get to that, there are some people in our lives or people out there whom we don't really want to meet. We don't want them to come too close to us. They're too powerful, too important, too authoritative. They know too much. I'm thinking when I was a boy, the headmaster at my school, I don't think I ever met him. His name was Aldous, and he had a formidable reputation. And if he had ever turned up in our classroom, we would have just been scared, witless. We never wanted to meet him. He was out there. And I remember another occasion when we were down in London and standing looking on the Horse Guards Parade, and I was looking up at this huge horse with this policeman on top of it, soldier with a gun and everything. And I was thinking, ooh, that's a great Instagram shot, but I don't want to get any closer. I don't want him to invade my life. My dad used to tell a story of there was a point in the life of Moortown Baptist Church, which is a church in Leeds, not far from where I am right now, in fact, where one season in the life of that church, there were three accident and emergency consultants in the membership. My father, David Wilson, and John Sloan, all three were the consultants at the Leeds General Infirmary, and they were all three members of Moortown Baptist Church. And which is in a period when, generally speaking, casualty departments only had one consultant. Anyway, this one Sunday, there was a service going on, and in a quiet point, the church is on the roundabout, and people heard a squeal of tires and that thud, that horrible noise that you get, and you wonder what's happened. And all three consultants ran out of the service and gathered around the victim lying on the ground, who I don't think was that seriously injured. And it turned out this guy worked for them in the department, so he knew who they were. And as he looked up and he saw these three consultants kneeling around him, he said, oh no, I must be nearly dead. It's a great line. So that's maybe somebody that you do want to be around when that happens. But what happens when the glorious, all-powerful, eternal God steps into our world of pain and loss, of guilt and shame? What happens? We're going to read about that in Philippians chapter 2. St. Paul wrote the letter to Philippi when he was a prisoner in Rome. And it's a letter that sparkles with joy. And in the middle of it is this poem in which Paul gets us thinking about how high Jesus is and how low he becomes. He gets us thinking about how great Jesus is and yet how he stepped down to be with us. And as we read about this cosmic scale stride across the universe to us, taken from glory to broken ordinary, we ask why? Why would God do such a thing? Will you turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and let's read this together, starting at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, the same mindset, the same way of thinking, the same attitude, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The poem takes us down, down, down to that point, and then it heads back up again. Verse 9, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. We'll look at the second half of that poem next week. This week, there is no higher place. There is no prior time. There's nothing before the beginning beyond before there was anything else, there was God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. Before the universe was created. No alternatives, no competition. God Almighty, sovereign, the beginning and the end, creator eventually of heaven and earth and the galaxies and stars. All power and riches and glory are God's. Always have been and always will be for all eternity. And in verse 6, we read that Jesus Christ was in nature this God. And he took the form of God. He was not in the image of God. It wasn't that he looked like God. It was that he had the very form and nature of God. The visual characteristics of a heavenly being. But in verse 7, it tells us that although Jesus could have stayed in that place, he chose to deprive himself so that he could be with us. He stepped down. And there are three phrases in verse 7 that describe this stepping down. There's a phrase about making himself nothing, that the fact that he took the form of a servant, and that he was made in human likeness. The stepping down took those forms. He emptied himself of all of his power and riches and his rights and stepped down. Now, it's important to know that it's not saying that Jesus became not God. He didn't exchange his divinity for his humanity. Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be God. But he took a step down to express his divinity through his humanity. A movement from the divine state to the human state. Christ did not have the human nature, he took it to himself. It's an awesome thought. And Paul says, have that mindset. What sort of mindset? What sort of mind, what sort of attitude does what Jesus does there? Verse 8, we get the clue. Humility. Jesus humbled himself. And Paul illustrates this throughout this poem, the humbling process. Because the thing is that our world tells us to pursue prestige and power and pride, in fact. You know, more money, bigger, shinier things, more important job, more celebrity, more fame, more power. And we justify that by decrying humility, saying that's something weak and that's to be looked down upon. But when a consultant kneels in the rain and steps down to an accident victim, that's not a humility of which to be ashamed. Humility, on the contrary, is a mark of moral strength and character. It's the very essence of what it means to be like Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus. Because Jesus has this mindset. He has this humility. It doesn't mean denying yourself, your worth or your value, but it means choosing to kneel and serve another person, another being. Christ denies himself, denies his privilege, and steps down to take your form and nature. And more than that, he takes it to serve you and me. Amazing. And more than that, verse 8, Jesus is obedient to death. He humbles himself to the course of our lives and our deaths, and he humbles himself to be abused and ultimately murdered and executed on the cross. Divine all the while, God expressed in human form, and yet serving all the way through to death. It's hard to get our head around that. And that's what we need to ponder this week, this Easter week. starting with the humble donkey and the cries of Hosanna, and ending in betrayal and the humiliating execution. There came a point on Friday, a point in time, sometime between 12 p.m. and 3 p.m. on that Friday, when Jesus, the Holy One, the one who had never done any wrong, the one who was sinless and pure, there was a point between 12, between noon and between 3 p.m. when Jesus carried the sins of the world. At that point, he became sin, taking all of mankind's sin on himself on the cross. And at that moment, not just with the agony of the crucifixion, but also with the cosmic heart tearing apart from Father God, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Our theme for this year is heart to heart. It's all about justice. Justice is about putting things right, paying the price of wrongdoing, and restoring our relationships. Our relationships with God, with each other, and with ourselves. And for justice to be served, a perfect life had to be sacrificed for all of us. And when Jesus steps down and takes our nature, but remains holy and divine, giving his life for us on the cross, he opens a way back to God if we will only surrender our lives to him and believe in him. Next week, we'll look at what happens after the cross. But this week, in this poem so far, Paul gets us thinking about how high Jesus is and how low he becomes. How great Jesus is, and yet how he stepped down to be with us. And as we read about this cosmic scale stride being taken from glory to broken ordinary, we ask this question, why? Why would God do such a thing? And we get the answer nicely encapsulated in the biography about Jesus written by John in chapter 3. And with this, I'm going to finish, and then we're going to pray. He says, why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We're going to turn to prayer now, and I want to provide an opportunity to respond to that amazing proposition. I want you to surrender your life to the love of God for the first time or for the millionth time. It's the best decision you'll ever make to reconnect your heart to heart with the living God. So as we pray, Alison's going to join me. So first of all, I want us to just pray together, and I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God and give your life to him again. And I want to do this in two ways. First of all, I want to speak to those of you for whom the issue in your life is prestige and pride. You've got the privilege, perhaps, of the color of your skin or the quality of your education, or you've got a great job, and maybe you've got winning personality and lovely looks. Maybe you've got a gifting in music or sport. You've got money in the bank. You've got a fully upgraded phone in your hand or a smart coat on your back. And what's your response? The Lord of glory invites you to make a movement from prestige to humility, to lay aside your accomplishments and your fine presentation, and instead, like Jesus Christ, to step down and kneel and serve, to confess your pride and embrace humility, to stare in wonder at the cross and at the King of glory emptying himself so that you and I could be saved and have eternal life. And I want to pray for you in a moment. But I also want to pray for those, I want to give an opportunity for a response for those of you where you have no prestige or pride. Life is not like that for you. You're struggling with money or loneliness or your relationships. You're suffering from illness, from depression. You feel abandoned, misused, abused. You're living with great loss and grief. Maybe you're the sort of person for whom joining a Zoom call means you don't want to put on your video. I want you to know that the response from you is this, is that the Lord of glory steps down to stand beside you. And more than that, he kneels to serve you and to show you his love. More than that, Jesus Christ walks with you all the way to the cross. This is our God, the servant king, whose love for you is shown in his presence with you and in the tears he sheds for you. The humble king who takes our form, the nature of a servant. So let's just pray. And Lord, whether I'm a privileged one, I know I am, and I come to you taking my step down into servanthood and humble living, or whether I'm the one who's struggling and I just welcome you into my life and into my pain and brokenness, I come to you now. Whether I'm the one kneeling at the cross just in awe of what you've done for me, or I'm the one where the pain of the cross is something you share with me, I come to you. Lord, I am sorry for not putting you at the center of my life, and I repent. I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you for what this Easter week means. As we shout, Hosanna, God save us. Lord, would you save me? Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And strengthen me to follow you and serve you and walk alongside you for the rest of my life. Amen.
Amen.
If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to talk with you and pray with you about that. Let us know. Awesome.
Well, the words that have come in are on a similar theme to that. I think it would be good if we just, if you are struggling to connect with God at the moment in this season for whatever reason, if you feel like you need his strength in the circumstances you find yourself, it would be really good for us to pray for you. So let's just take a minute just to give God permission to come and give you what he needs, just to invite his presence. So we welcome you into every space. Wherever anyone is right now, we just welcome your presence. Or do you find us there? You meet us there. And this is all about encounter with you. It's all about meeting with you. So we just pray, Lord, that you would come, that you would meet with us. Let us sense your Holy Spirit right now. Come, Holy Spirit. To those who are struggling, and God is saying, I don't need anything from you, just receive me. I want to give you my love and my gifts. So if you're feeling like you have to do something or be something or earn your way to receiving, Jesus is saying, let that go, put it down, open the door, remove that barrier. That isn't true. Just receive me. I want to give you my love and my gifts. And for people who feel in that place of not being able to connect, who's saying, I will start to bring light and life to where it has felt shady and cold and dark. So Lord, shine your light into those dark, cold, shady places. And to those who need your strength this morning, and to re-echo the words of Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth is nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Lord, would you pour out your strength on those who need it this morning?